There's a banana joke in here somewhere. I can feel it.
We'll get to banana jokes. We'll get there today.
I have to think of one more joke before we get there. I have to figure it out.
Welcome to Two Dads Talking.
Welcome, welcome. So when we started this, we just started recording and not really knowing what we were doing, obviously, as you all have been figuring that out now.
Some things haven't changed.
Don't ever change who you are. Don't worry, we won't. And we were just sitting there thinking, you know, we'll get a couple episodes under our belt and then we'll find someone to help edit. And then we started thinking about, we've got 9 recordings, 10 recordings, and editing costs how much, even when it's cheap? So the short version is we started doing our own editing, which is a lot of work. Shocker. That's why people want to get paid to do it. So right now we're recording on the day that we released the one about the beginning of the NFL season. So we're going to be doing a lot of catch up and try to make this a little bit more current-ish. Tom has decided to talk into the microphone now, which podcasting 101.
What Doug really meant to say was, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you being here. Welcome to Two Dads Talking. The current date is January 18th, and by the time you're listening to this, it'll be March 27th. So congratulations. No,
I will take that as a personal insult because right now I'm our editor.
All right, fine. March 20th.
Thank you. Finally, a little respect around here.
Welcome. Last time we talked, we cut a little short. We were going deep when we were talking about suicide pods and just kind of decided we needed some more time before we came back and approached that one. Have you had time to think about this since then, or are we still going on the previous assessment of knowledge?
No, I've had a little bit more time to think about it. I already have, I guess you could call them preconceived notions if you don't know me, but this is something I've thought about for, well, a decade plus since school.
Before we get into that, actually, let's do a short recap on what this is in case somebody's tuning in for the first time and didn't hear the last episode.
But we're going to put the recording part from the last episode into this one. So actually,
oh, okay,
I'll put it in the middle somewhere.
So we're gonna cut all this out then, because I didn't realize what a fine editing job Doug was gonna do on this. So that's my fault,
man. Lying to their faces, how dare you.
It's not their faces, it's their ears.
You know what, here it is right now, at this moment, right after me talking right now, editor Doug will put in a little bit from last week so you can hear the setup of this. Pause. But yeah, I did have something that, in usual fashion, it's sort of a dark topic, but this, it got through its next approval, these things called suicide pods. I think it's in Switzerland. We can link an article to it. The one I'm looking at right now is from the U.S. Sun. Whoever wrote this article clearly has one opinion of it, because it says, the subheader says, a coffin-like capsule that allows people to end their life could be used in Switzerland from next year. And I actually don't think it looks like a coffin. I get why you'd say that, because it's a human-sized cylinder thing that opens up from the top and you climb into. I actually think it looks more like something that Superman came to Earth on, personally.
So, wow, can I just intercede 1 second here? I'm kind of impressed. When I Google for the suey word, I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that. When I Google suey pods, the first thing that pops up is a box that says, help is available, speak with someone today. The 988 suey and crisis lifeline. Wow, that's actually solid.
I wonder if someone bought that, or someone thought that, because like if you're feeling extra suey, you might not type the whole word out.
Oh, I'm just using suey to abbreviate it so that we're not technically saying the whole word and getting, if we're monetized at this point, demonetized and all that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, okay. So here, all right, so I'll try again. So this one thing that I wanted to talk about, I'm going to have to cut out like 5 minutes now.
I'm sure we're probably fine. Have you heard the Joe Rogan Experience? I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, we're competing just very badly.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll know our name by now.
Well, and so here's the thing. I would not call it a suit. I'm just going to say it. You know what? I'm going to say it. That was the whole point of this. It's supposed to be cathartic. It's supposed to be our thing and just what it is. I'm calling it a suicide pod because that's what other people and articles and everything else have referenced it. It's not like I'm sitting here guaranteeing I'd call it something different. I'd call it a death pod. Let me see if I can find the actual name, because this article keeps saying suicide pod. Oh,
I've found brand names. I've got all kinds of stuff here.
That's what I mean. So
the Sarco assisted death suicide pod.
That's what they call it. They call it a suicide pod. So here's the thing. So what it is, it looks like something that Superman came to Earth in.
Yeah, it does.
And you open it up, you climb in, you lie down, you're at like a 30 degree incline or something. So it's kind of like lounging on the beach, except you want to kill yourself. And it says it will ask them a series of questions before they can press a button, which brings oxygen down, and then the device fills with nitrogen. And supposedly this is what causes hypoxia, which is just taking the oxygen out of your tissues. And then it also says, I'm going to say these wrong, hypocapnia, which is you lose carbon dioxide in the blood. And that supposedly it's sort of like a going to sleep feeling. And you don't get the, as they call it, the panic or choking feeling, which it would be really bad if your death machine gave you a panic and choking feeling. I mean, no one would want to use that, obviously. And it's just, if you feel like you're ready to go, you can just kind of do it, quote, peacefully. And it's being pushed in Switzerland, probably because the Swiss are just game for anything. And it says 1,300 people used assisted suicide in Switzerland last year. I have a couple of takes on this. And the reason I wanted to talk about it was because this is going to be a weird way to say this, but topics like this are very near and dear to my heart. As a philosophy major in college, one of my absolutely favorite courses that I took, the course was called, this is the title of the course again, not me paraphrasing, it was called Abortion, Euthanasia, and Capital Punishment was the name of the course. And I severely underestimated the course for starters. I thought, okay, great, we're going to debate about these moral issues that, you know, you can talk about with anybody at a bar. But the very first week, our professor showed us about a 20 or 30 second clip from one of those documentaries that covers the people that go try to like kill the abortion clinic workers. And they showed the part of the documentary where it shows them talking to their families, their wives, even some of them with their kids. They've planned this. They understand what they're doing is viewed as wrong. They know they're going to go to jail potentially forever after this. And so they're like planning for it, almost like it's the end of their time with their family. And he looked at us and he said, write an essay to these people telling them why what they're doing is wrong. And that sounds like a stupid assignment at first blush, but try to tell somebody who firmly believes they're acting in self-defense for the defenseless that what they're doing is not good. To this day, it was probably the hardest assignment I ever had to do in my entire life. And that was week one of this course. So I love this stuff. It's really fascinating to me. So something like this, a death pod, the really, really short answer is no, you should not off yourself. We referenced on earlier episodes how taking someone else's life is crossing a line. And it's not that you should never do it and that there's no situation where you should ever do it, but it has to really be worth it, because it's one of those lines you can't hop back over after you're done. And I categorize even your own assisted suicide, your own euthanizing, in that same boat. Not just because literally you can't come back to life, but because as a society, when you start trivializing this kind of thing and making it a commodity, you're going to get more of it. When you commercialize something, you glorify it or glamorize it a little bit. And you will end up getting the occasional person who really should not be doing this. They'll be able to game the system or answer the questions the way they want. and there's no coming back from that. So that's why I don't like the concept. From a purely intellectual standpoint, this is a brilliant machine. They're 3D printing everything. They're doing all the right political stuff with having a question and answer set up to make sure you really mean it. It probably makes you wait a minute between questions too, so you can really stop and think about stuff. And then advertising the whole painless going to sleep thing. I guess the short version is, yes, I think it's wrong, but yes, I also think it's a brilliant bit of engineering, and it just feels like it's one of those things that's going to have a lot of those unintended consequences that people don't think are going to be an issue now, but end up being an issue later.
Yeah, I wish I had looked at this before we talked so I could formulate a more, how do I put this, a better opinion on this. I don't know.
I mean, where I'm going with this is, what's the age of consent on something like this? And I feel like you can't say the same as alcohol or the same as firearms or really even the same as voting. There's a lot of messiness that comes into this.
I don't think the age is as important in this as the mental health, as the presence of a terminal illness. I think if I'm going to go down the road here and I'm going to argue for this, and I'm going to make this argument based on the presumption that I'm on board with this. So let's just be all in on this for a second for the sake of argument. I don't think it's a consent of age. I think it's mental faculties and that a reasonable person's life would be so unbearable with whatever they are dealing with that a painful, call it a mercy killing, a reasonable person would find that to be beyond the shadow of a doubt better than continuing living in whatever circumstances they have. So I'm thinking about someone who's got an extremely painful terminal illness. They could have that at age 75, 95. My friend Krista, who just passed away at age 44. I don't think the age is the bottleneck here. I don't think that's where we get stuck on this. I think is the person in a state where they are making this decision with a reasonably functioning mind, and would a reasonable person in their condition dealing with whatever that person is dealing with feel as though this is beyond a shadow of a doubt preferable than continuing on? And I don't know how you would make that determination. But I think that sort of approach is more important here than someone's age, to a degree. If you're talking about a 15 or a 16-year-old kid, no, get out of here. I'm not willing to say that argument exists without exception. But I think generally speaking, I don't think I'm going to want to put the sort of statute of limitations here on age. I don't think that's what I want to be the full break or full go decision.
Fair. It bears clarifying from my part. I was getting a little bit ahead of myself by offering age as a potential debate here. Part of that was because I think if this becomes somewhat commonplace, or I shouldn't say commonplace, but accepted in certain capacities, I think you eventually get to this kind of debate from people. It doesn't happen right away. And it was meant to be a little bit of a sample of the kinds of discussions that are going to swirl around this. A little bit of an illusion for me on this is divorce rates, especially in the U.S., it was 52% or 50% of marriages divorced in the first 5 years. And G.K. Chesterton, one of his quotes was, because at the time there were some regulations allowing for divorce to be a little bit easier. And he said, the logical consequence of frivolous divorce is frivolous marriage, which was not a prevailing wisdom at the time. And I think he ended up being right, because I don't feel like you can have Elvis marry you in a Las Vegas chapel and claim that we don't have frivolous marriages. That's my hot take for the night. So when I see something like these pods, the first thing is it's going to come off very reasonable. It's going to be, we use this strictly as, it's just going to replace our current assisted suicide criteria, which is terminal illness, otherwise of sound mind, maybe you have some other sort of like two physicians sign off on lacking physical faculties that would literally limit potential life experiences, and you have to have filed a last will and testament first, yada, yada, yada. You can put all these things in front of it. But then you have, I mean, it happened with abortion. At first, it started with you have your child's going to be disabled or have a terminal disease. Do you really want to put the child and the parents through that or just do it now? And then eventually it got to, well, this is going to impact the woman's career, or it's going to be an inconvenience on her life, and it gets that far. This would eventually get to, you would deem someone as living a lesser life because they're in a vegetative state, or they have a developmental disability, or they have a horrible accident and can't make their own decisions anymore. Now medical POA shows up and says, well, I think I should do this. You have sort of a Terry Schiavo kind of incident, kind of debate around this. And eventually you get all the way to, who are you to tell this person what they're thinking, what they're feeling? They should be able to make their own decisions, whether you think it's silly or not. And so it's I'm way, that card is really far ahead of that horse right now with where I'm going with this. But the real danger of this to me is that I don't think it'll be controlled. And my dark hot take on this is, if you really want to take your own life, you can already do it. You don't need some special pot that makes it nice and painless. So I don't, that's my argument against this ultimately, is if someone's really motivated, they don't need this. And I realize the faults with that view too, which is, oh, you're just going to let your family find you that way. At least this is.
Yeah. It's one of those unsavory arguments, but it doesn't make it any less real. That's the bottom line, is that, you know, if somebody wants to commit suicide, just like if somebody wants to commit a terrorist attack, or if somebody wants to punch someone in the nose, if someone wants to do a thing bad enough, they're going to find a way to do it. That's just how it is. It feels a lot to me. It's similar in some ways to gun control debates, and similar to me in a lot of ways as in the war on drugs. People are going to do it anyway. Why is it illegal? You know, there's a lot of that involved here. And it's a real thing, because precedent is a real thing. And once you give an inch, eventually someone's going to take a mile. And that's kind of what you're alluding to this, the slippery slope. Once this becomes okay, well, what's the next thing? Where does it go next? How common does it become? Is it okay if someone else makes that determination for you at some point? Is it okay if the government makes that decision for you at some point? This could be a very slippery slope. This is the stuff of sci-fi movies and sci-fi books. And looking at this pod, it belongs in a sci-fi movie or a sci-fi book. But the thought that keeps coming back to my head as I look at this thing, it looks like a space capsule, but a very comfortable one. I'm wondering, why are we not using this as like a hyperbaric chamber and like a meditative enhancement thing? Why aren't we using this pod to do good things for people and saturate them with oxygen and find ways to induce better environments to work on mental health? That looks like a great place to meditate, or to watch a movie in like 360 degree surround sound. Oh my God.
Like a VR pod.
Yeah, it could be a VR pod. This could be the stuff from Ready Player One made real. I mean, this thing looks amazing.
We were talking earlier about how you don't realize why I call you the smarter one.
I don't think so. I'm just leaning on my imagination and my love of science fiction. Well, I don't think that makes me smarter.
The gun control link is actually a good link, though. That is a good take of just like, if people are already going to do it, then why do you try to restrict it? Like, why shouldn't these suckers just be everywhere? And there are a lot of parallels.
This is something we might want to revisit. I might want to research this and we talk about this again. Let me see how I sit with this and if I feel like it's too dark for our cast or not. Because, you know, we've never really covered dark material before. We've always been such a light sort of...
Lighthearted, happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
Like the South Park woodland creatures that tear you apart.
There you go. Yeah. But this is something else. Looking at this in these pictures, this thing is, it's an impressive piece of machinery, regardless of the purpose for which it was built. Like you said, this is impressive engineering. And it looks sleek, and I really feel like it's a gaming pod. Like, I feel like I should be in there and I should be playing video games. I think if you're looking for suicide pods, I mean, we already had a rash of that in this country with Tide Pods, didn't we? And hopefully I'm not going to get sued, but Isn't Tide Pod the original Suicide Pod?
I was going to say Tide Pods after this. You can put branding on these things. You could have sponsors. It would be perfect. Then you could
not Tide. Yep, Tide is a not sponsor.
It does feel like one of those things that right now sounds fine, but then 30 or 40 years from now, you have people going, how did they ever let this happen? And you want to talk about a really random reference, considering my political stock that I came from, because, you know, I've grew up around a lot of hardcore Catholics, and some of those folks that I grew up around were really upset when gay marriage was legalized in the United States. And I felt like a man on an island at the time because I had a very different take from everybody else. I said that it absolutely should have happened legally, and it was bound to happen starting in the 1950s or 60s or whatever, because some big court case way back then said, yes, you can have effectively non-religious marriages that are recognized the same way by the state. Because before, the state would recognize marriages from, you know, X religions or this religion or that religion, and it brought some of those benefits because it was originally intended as, oh, this is good for society, nuclear family, you know, raising kids in stable environments, all that stuff. And then people said, well, why can't we get the same benefits as these religious zealots over here, but we're not religious? And the state said, okay, great. That's fine too. We'll just call it a civil union. And religious folks should have been up in arms back then saying, no, do not call it marriage. If you're going to have this, call it a state union or a civil union, stick to the verbiage. We should not be calling this a marriage. Because then, fast forward, any civil union now can bring tax benefits. And that's just the natural consequence of this. So I feel like this is in that track. Right now, you're making it for 85-year-old, terminally ill, can't walk anymore person. And fast forward 50 years, you have 18-year-old, who they could enlist for their country and die for their country, and that wouldn't even be their own choice. So they should absolutely be empowered to make their own choice to do it now and here. Why not? I don't think it's that much of a logical leap. And it feels presumptuous of me to say that that choice should not be given either now or later, but I don't think it should. Same way we talked about the guy who turned himself into a rough collie. I do think that guy should be in an institution, not because I'm making his decisions for him, but because I'm making decisions for my family. And there are certain levels where I feel like you're demonstrating to the rest of us that you don't belong with us. And I feel like that's what this pod is. I feel like I can fairly say, for a truly above average, like an actual, if we actually care about functioning of society, we should not make offing ourselves easy. And if we're going to make it easy, it should be painful. So you really mean it. So yeah, maybe we'll just record this later and call it Suey 2.
This thing's interesting looking at it. I feel like I climb into this thing and it should be like an escape shuttle for a spaceship. Like it should levitate. It should fly me somewhere. There should be steam and propulsion, and it should fly me somewhere. And I'm reading articles about it and I'm looking at this thing and it's, man. So, Suicide Pods. We interrupted our talk on Suicide Pods after a lengthy discussion last time and realized we would come back to it. So, what you're actually listening to is us talking about a week after we started that conversation. We broke it off. We did a little bit of homework and a little bit of thinking on it. If you'll forgive the pun, we dug a little deeper, and now we're coming back to discuss the Suicide Pods and probably suicide in general. It's kind of where I guess we're going to go with this.
That's your recap.
You dig dugged?
Yeah, you just regular dugged.
Dig dug was a good game.
It was a good game. And it was really freaking hard. We've got
it on a little bitty like mini arcade. It's that and Galaga in the same machine, and my son plays it. And it's
good choices. Yeah.
It's tough.
You think, how hard could this get? And then by the time you hit level whatever it is, 16 or 20, you're dropping curse words as an adult.
Or level 3 in my case.
Or level 3, right.
All right, so Suicide Pods. Doug brought this up last time.
So what? So I have to do it again now?
Yeah, I guess, because I don't really remember where we left it off. I know I've been thinking about it.
I mean, let's be fair. I don't remember all the specifics either. I remember we had the basic cursory stuff of, I feel like I'm one of those old fogies that sits there and says this is bad because it will be a slippery slope kind of thing. Right now, this is hard for me to express. So naturally, I'm going to try to do it on a podcast without any facial expression or video to go with it. If I was king for a day, the people who know me sort of assume that I would have implemented some sort of, let's call it right-wing theocracy, because I'm born and raised Catholic. I'm kind of naturally both socially and fiscally conservative. I'm that kind of personality. I have told multiple people, therefore it can be corroborated, that if I was king for a day, I would actually not do that because people call it the separation of church and state. I feel like that's a little bit watering it down, but I'm the type that says, if you want to screw your own shit up, as king for a day, I would let you do that. I would just want to make sure that you have the chance to fully consider your choices. And I can fully disagree with your choice. But if I'm really being, in my mind, a proper Catholic, you're supposed to earn your salvation, whatever God's metrics are for that. So it's not my job to tell you exactly what you can and can't do. It's my job to make sure that you are making an informed decision. If you take that line of reasoning, if I was king for a day, I would totally be cool with this being something in society, because the same way people can decide to off themselves other ways, this is, you could argue, a more humane, a more attractive, a more approachable way to do that. I do want to have lots of, I guess, redundancies in place to make sure that this is someone, this person, this something this person really wants to do. That is not what actually happens in our society, though. What happens is it starts out as a good thing and or having a good reason behind it, even if it's not a good thing. And it might take 10 years, it might take 30 years, it might take 50 years. Eventually, you have people saying, how come this person with cancer or X, Y, or Z, how come they get to make this choice and I don't? If I don't want to live, how come, like, it will boil down to some argument of this person has more rights than I do. I find it ironic that they're saying they want the right to off themselves in a cleaner manner, but that's whether how the conversation will go. Someone will say, I don't want to live anymore, but I don't have the proverbial balls to do it myself, so I want this machine to do it for me. We've seen it happen with literally everything else. I mean, you pick any other hot button debate, and most people debate over the fringe or edge cases as to whether or not it should be legal, but then it's made legal to everybody eventually. I just think that's where this thing ends up going. I think we also talked about how it's a pretty interestingly designed machine. There was this other article that said that it was actually biodegradable, and let me pull it up.
While you pull that up, I'm actually going to step away real quick and grab a charger because I've got something about to die here that I don't want to die during the cast. I'll be right back.
Ironic.
Speaking of suicide. All right, the laptop's life has been preserved against its will.
Wonderful. So I found it. The article is India Today. I don't see a date in the actual article. I want to say it was something like it's old. I mean, most of the articles about, oh, here it is, December 7th, 2021. So this thing has been around-ish, at least as a prototype deal for a while. And all the articles talk about approving it, and there's been nothing really since then. So I don't know if that means anything right now, but it says it's actually brought to the location the user wants. And then the actual coffin, air quotes, part, the capsule part detaches after you're done using it to literally like serve as a coffin or a casket, I think. Which is probably why they made it look so cool and so spaceshipy, because they're like, this, you might be buried in this thing, so you don't want it to look like really ghastly, I guess. And then the other thing it said too, which this is where the Doug dichotomy comes in from my own personal feelings. It says that the machine can be operated from inside by blinking in case the person using it suffers from locked-in syndrome, where they can't move or do anything because, I don't know, claustrophobic or scared or something like that. And that's a good consideration because I don't know. I guess if you're going to make a death machine, it should be ADA accessible.
Wow, I like that.
Sentences that you never thought you'd say in your entire life. But I also don't like it because how do you, I mean, it must be one of the questions early on, like, do you suffer from locked-in syndrome? Blink once for yes, or literally do anything else? You know, because I don't want to make a weird blank and halfway through when I'm considering stuff, have be like, okay, see you later. Gas you up. But I thought it was interesting that it was detachable, biodegradable, so very environmentally friendly. And then just brought to where you want to go, because then you can sort of do it, I guess, in on your own terms, sort of. But this article also said something, let's see if we can find it. Yeah, at present, only two Sarco prototypes exist, but they were 3D printing a third machine, which was ready for operation next year. And again, this was December of 2021. So it sounds like if these things are actually approved and being used, only five people have used them. You know what I also haven't seen too? And then I'll let you go, Tom. I haven't seen a price. I assume this costs something.
Oh, it has to. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably some sort of government thing, some sort of grant or whatever like that, because you never, I don't know. I mean, because if you're going into the private market with something like this, you've got to compare against average funeral costs, casket costs.
My guess is it'll be priced competitively with caskets, with top-of-the-line caskets. Is probably, it's going to be, that's the starting point, I would think.
Yeah, but that's like, what, $15,000, $20,000, including civil services a lot of times? I feel like a full 3D printed thing like this would be probably way more.
Yeah, maybe. But if you're pricing it too high, you're never going to sell it. Because if you think right. of the highest rate of suicides, my guess is that it would not be in your top economic earners. It's not going to be in the top percentages of income. So if you price it too high, I don't think insurance is going to cover this.
Things you never thought you'd say.
Right. 100%.
I'm going after a niche market.
So if it's priced out of the average consumer's price range and insurance won't cover it, then who are you going to sell it to? You know?
Well, the one article we had said 1,300 assisted suicides in Switzerland the year before. Ooh, good point. That would have been, based on most of these articles, that would have been 2020, which is during COVID, which is during lockdowns. So your typical consumer, that might have been a higher year, potentially, depending upon any extra stresses.
Yeah.
So you might be only looking at 1,000 customers a year for this puppy.
I got to point out that you just said only 1,000 people a year. That strikes me as
dark and utilitarian of it. I mean, because like you haven't run your own business and you wouldn't say the exact same damn thing.
I, sir, have a light, airy, optimistic mood about me.
When? Oh, wait. I think I see it. Is that in your graphic?
You got to zoom in really close to see it. It's not big enough for that.
It's not hiding right behind that Game of Thrones chair with all the swords and iron and darkness.
Listen, they're not swords anymore. They've been melted down.
Anyway, go ahead, Tom. Someone needs to pod me.
No, this is actually, in hindsight, unfortunately, this is probably going to be a very boring conversation for the rest of the way for this episode, because I largely agree with you. The more I thought about it, I'm very stoutly against suicide in general. Probably not for the same reasons as you, but when I was young, my grandfather committed suicide, and I remember walking in on my mom, just like getting the phone call, and I remember her expression and the tears. It's the first time I remember seeing my mom cry, and I'll never forget it. I obviously saw some more as a police officer, and a couple of veterans, more than a couple of veterans that I've known have taken their lives, and it's a pandemic amongst veteran suicide, and it's something I'm just stoutly against and staunchly against. However, I'm also a big believer in sort of, this is where I get a little bit controversial with myself, a little cognitive dissonance. John Stuart Mill, I've talked about his book on liberty before, and I'm a big believer in a lot of what he proposes. And primarily personal liberty. And one of the things he says is over oneself, over one's body and mind and something else, the individual is sovereign. the only time or the only purpose in which power should be exercised over somebody in a civilized community against their will is to prevent harm to other people. Other than that, when it comes to one's own self, your body and mind, your sovereignty is your own. And I believe that. To a large degree, I believe that. So along with that logic, if you're not harming anyone else, and I know that's a debatable point here, that's sort of the sticking matters when you commit suicide, are you harming others? But if you're not harming anyone else and you have sovereign right over yourself, your body, your mind, then I don't think I have the right to stop someone from committing suicide. And I don't like that answer. My first thought when I was trying to grind this through my head was, you know, what if in 5 years, 10 years, you know, my mother tells me, yeah, you know, I'm done. I'm ready to check out. I want to go ahead and commit assisted suicide. How would I feel about that? And I didn't like that feeling at all. But then I went another step and said, well, what if in 15 years, my daughter says that to me? You know, what if my kid tells me that one day? Am I still going to believe that, you know, your right to this is your own? You get to make this choice and I don't have the right to interfere. And I'm pretty sure I'd be a hypocrite and I'm pretty sure I would no longer feel this way. So this feels like a really easy position for me to hold so long as it's not too close to my personal bubble. I'm pretty sure I would contradict myself if this ever got super close to home. But generally speaking, and you know how I don't like generalities much, but generally speaking, I feel that as long as we're not harming someone else, we should have individual freedom and liberty. That sovereignty over ourselves should be ours. And according to that logic, I don't think I have the right to tell someone who has decided that this is the best choice for them, as long as they're of sound mind. And I would want to say of age. I think there should be some sort of a restriction there, obviously. I don't think it's my right, even though I disagree with it, to tell them they can't do this. And even if I did, and we deny them this, they're going to find, if they're serious, they're going to find another way. I've seen enough suicide to know that they would probably find another way. So I'm a little caught up, but I largely agree with you that if somebody wanted to, I would let them. But I also think that if this was someone closer to home, I'd probably become a hypocrite real quick and change my mind. And J.S. Mill, to his credit, actually said, and on Liberty, he actually goes in and says, you know, I know I said this about your right to do what you want, but you do not have the freedom to give up your own freedom. You don't have the right to give up your own sovereignty. And by committing suicide, you're giving away your sovereignty. And that's not allowed, so suicide's not allowed. Like, he actually was against suicide in the book. He talks about it.
It's his line. I mean, yeah. Sorry, are you done?
Yeah, no, I'm done. Like I said, it's largely I'm agreeing with you in that I feel we should let people do this if they want to. But I'm also admitting right up the front that I'm probably being a hypocrite. And I don't think I would feel this way if it was my wife, my child, someone super close to me. I don't think I would feel the same way. So I'm a bit of a hypocrite here.
Well, since no one's defending you, including yourself, I'll defend you. We talked about the values in some previous episode. I think when we were talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and some of your teacher experience and all of that, and I was taking the position of you always have a choice, even if it's a bad choice. And then you yelled at me and I curled up in a corner and cried later.
But we I also, didn't yell at you.
Yes, you controlled, yelled at me. We also talked about this with that guy that wanted to be the rough collie, because I remember saying, yes, you're not hurting anybody else, but especially as a father, you are now an unpredictable person. So in a way, I feel like I do kind of have a right to take away some of your freedoms, because I do worry about my kids and I cannot be protecting them from anything and everything at all costs. So when I see something that, you know, in my mind walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know, I'm going to treat it like a duck. And I should be unapologetic in that. I understand you're trying to, quote, live your truth and live your life, but so am I. And that's why I don't like that phrase, because if it's everyone's truth against everyone's truth, then you just have chaos. And there needs to be some sort of social contract. And that is my actual primary concern with this, is even though I've said in my own hypocritical way, if I was king for a day, I would let this be here. It's because me as king for a day would absolutely make sure that the gates are really strong on this one. Because, yeah, if someone wants to off themselves, they will. They will find a way. And that was actually one of the arguments that pro-abortion people have said. They've said, this is safer for women than, you know, sometimes quite literally the coat hanger in the back alley for an abortion. And my response is, in so many words, to be crass, it's tough shit. You make your own choices. It's not my obligation to help you make those choices. And these death pods, your reasoning is probably different than mine for being against them. My reasoning is very general. It is that this is a devaluation of human life. Even if you don't believe in religion, higher power, ethics, morals, whatever your belief system is, as a fellow human, just purely evolutionarily, you should be all about the promotion and carrying on of your species. This is against that. This is not something that should evolve with us, this value of like a sweet death. The sweet death should only be for something that preserves human life, like dying in battle to protect your children, dying in battle to protect your country and your fellow countrymen. Things like that, where your death is theoretically trying to preserve other lives. That's the only time death is okay to sort of be glorified. When you're just taking yourself out of the equation, that is devaluing human life. That's just not even a biological thing. If you're one of those anti-religious types and says, oh, it's all about evolution, there is no God, you should absolutely be 100% against this if you want to be logically consistent.
Shout out to this episode. We got to talk about two of probably my 10 favorite books of all time, because you just mentioned The Social Contract, which is by J.J. Rousseau, and also talks about individual authority and the authority of the people versus that of the government. So shout out to us for being literary people this episode. We're calling out.
I'm going to say
books.
It was an accident, just like I'm wearing a Waldo shirt.
I didn't even realize you were wearing a Waldo shirt. Hey, I found him. Look.
Yeah, right here. That's my biggest takeaway, though, is that I do think, and along those same lines with Mill, I think society does have a right to restrict some of your freedoms, at least when it comes to stuff like this, where it's actual personal harm or worse, like death. It is sort of a spectrum. It is all gray, because I mean, parents have certain rights with their children that other folks don't have. You can make certain decisions. I mean, and it can be as trivial as like when someone writes a check to your kid's not going to sign a signature at the bank. You get to sign as a custodian or a parent, you know, all the way up to school and healthcare and all that stuff. So bad analogy again, when someone commits some C word, a heinous crime, and they go into court and they're like, well, I'm pleading insanity. My automatic reaction is, obviously you're insane, because normal people don't do what you just did. So I don't want that to lessen your sentence. If anything, I want it to make your sentence harsher. If you say, hey guys, I'm insane, then kind of like the rough collie guy, you're now unpredictable. You are less acclimated for regular society, and you are a problem for me if you are quote insane, because that means you do not think rationally. By definition, I'm not trying to be insulting. By the book, insanity is not rationally thinking. So if you say you're insane, I say, good, you just signed yourself up for the highest sentences, not the lowest sentences. So when someone's like, you know what, I want to kill myself, but I want to do it peacefully, there's no such thing as a even the old age deaths, if you've seen them, which bless your soul if you haven't, I actually envy you, because it's never good to see. Even old age, quote, deaths in your sleep, they don't look pretty. They look like a struggle. They look like it was not fun. So this thing claims to give you a painless death. I don't believe it. I believe at some base level, there will be some sort of pain, some sort of struggle, some sort of experience in that. That's just my two cents. So when you're saying, I want to end it, but I sort of am almost cowardly, too cowardly to do it in any way except that I think is the absolute most best, most peaceful. That's sort of hinting to me of someone who's not completely mentally all there. And I do think that, I'm not saying it's completely off the table, but I'm saying that this has to be kind of like what they're doing. We're literally 3D printing these by order, not anticipating any actual need for them. So,
all right. Well, that was a fun topic.
Yeah, let's go to the banana truck now.
Yeah, let's go somewhere a little lighter. I told my wife we were talking about this tonight as she got tucked into bed with her surgically repaired ankle up on pillows. I was like, yeah, so I'm going to nice go buckle
you.
My...
Did you do it or did no, your boyfriend no, she... do it?
No, it wasn't me. It was the boyfriend.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's such a nice guy. So lucky to have him around. Nice to have a man around the house.
Well, you know, sometimes I need something fixed up. I need something done. he's cheaper than hiring a handyman, right? Right. So she was putting her foot up and she goes, you all right? I was pretty tired tonight. She goes, you all right for this? You sure you don't want to cancel? I was like, no, I fell asleep last night instead of podcasting. So no, we're going to get this done. And she goes, oh, good. I said, yeah, I'm just going to buckle in. We're talking about suicide for an hour. She goes, you're doing what? Like, what? I said, well, yeah, suicide pods. She goes, are you going to be talking about veterans? Is this going to be good for you? Is it going to be bad for you? Like, where are you going with this? And I was like, I don't know. We're just going to talk about suicide. And she kind of, my wife being the good, caring soul that she is, immediately went to, this is going to be bad for my husband. Tried to warn me off it. But, you know, whatever. We're halfway there. We got to finish the conversation, right?
That's true. All right. Talk about the banana truck, man. It was in your hometown. You probably did it. You probably stuck your foot out there and tripped the truck. It was all your fault. Oh,
man. I can't claim that one. I can't take credit. We did see it. We drove by it. So we were driving, was this Sunday morning? I think we were going in my daughter's baptism is where I think we were going when we saw this. We were going somewhere with the whole family. It had to be that because my wife hasn't been driven out of the house much since. So we're on the way to get my youngest baptized. And as we drive by an exit to 95, an off-ramp that we drive by pretty much anytime we go into Rhode Island, we look up and there's a tractor trailer literally upside down on the ramp. Like it's completely rolled over and it's upside down. Police have it all shut off and we go, oh, that looks pretty bad. That's not a good thing. But everybody looks to be okay. There's, you know, it's shut down, but there's no fire trucks. There's no ambulances. So, all right, so let's go ahead and get moving on. And we get to the baptism. We do our thing. We come back. It's still there. Wow. Well, that's unexpected. I thought they would have cleared this out by now. It's been 4 hours. So we get home and my wife being the diligent, curious soul that she is, you know, pulls open the phone and does a little search. And it turns out that this truck was hauling bananas and only bananas. And it had like 40,000 bananas in this trailer when it flipped over.
No, I think it had 40,000 pounds of bananas.
It's so many bananas. It's crazy. So, of course, me, you know, my first thought should have been, well, was everybody okay? Instead, my first comment was, do you think the driver stuck around or do you think he split? And my wife just kind of looked at me. I was like, stop. Just stop. No banana jokes yet. I don't know. It was just interesting. I saw the headline and read it and sent it to Dan. And it just happened in my backyard. And it was quite the interesting story. All the banana jokes came in. So why not? We're going to follow up the suicide pods with a banana joke. Banana truck. Dad jokes. Doug brought banana jokes today, too. We're going to go that way because they're appealing. That's how we're going to do this.
Yes, they are.
We got a whole bunch of these.
I was going to say, I believe you said you had bunches.
Oh, whole bunches.
Well, I mean, I personally, you're right. I did come ready to dole out some jokes.
Nice.
Honestly, I was kind of hoping that you would stop and Chiquita that out.
Nice.
But then, you know, afterwards you would peel out.
We already had a peel one. We already had a peel one.
Well, you also said split, so I can't do that one.
That's true. That's
the point is that we need to stop monkeying around.
We do. We absolutely do.
Or you want to hear my worst one?
I can't wait.
You should have stopped and been like, that shit is bananas, B-A.
I did say something like that to my wife, and she hates that song with a passion, so she told me to stop.
Were you yellow with embarrassment?
I was not. I very seldom am. Maybe with jaundice, not embarrassment. All right. So do we want to go into some dad jokes or are these going to be our dad jokes?
No, we should do one. I'll admit, I definitely found this one. I did not do any brainstorming for this one, but it's good. Tom.
Yes, Doug.
What do sprinters eat before a race?
I don't know.
Nothing. They fast.
That's cute. I like it.
Couldn't let it go.
That is good. Yeah, I like it. I was thinking about bananas. Ah, yep. Shucks. No, I went with the banana joke for the dad joke today.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the banana and the vibrator? Have you heard that one? The look on Doug's face. I wish we were live.
I know. Well, if you want me to stick on theme here. I can feel it. I can feel the answer in there somewhere.
It is in there somewhere. So a banana is talking to a vibrator. And the banana says to the vibrator, "What are you shaking for? She's going to eat me."
Of course. I'm not going to call that cute, though, because that would still be weirder. It is kind of cute. It's cute in the, like, I don't talk about sex. I don't talk about sex toys as cute, though.
We talked about beef stroganoff in episode 8. I mean, come on.
No, you talked about chicken's peckers, too. Apparently, that's you're true. The one that's with the Freudian issue.
I think I am. I got a cute one for you. What do you call it when a banana eats another banana?
Cannibalism.
No, cannabananalism.
Damn it. I almost had it.
All right. If A is for apple and B is for banana, what is C for? Explosives. C4 is for explosives. And you're welcome. I got the snort. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, you did. And the eye roll.
I'm going to keep telling them until I get the snorts.
I think I'm just going to hold this pose for the rest of the night. No, that's not the thinker. He just looks upset. Very nice, sir.
I try. Got to get ready for another stand-up set. So, you know, I got to start the creative juices flowing.
Speaking of, looking back at all the recordings now that we finally managed to get out there, turns out I did finish last in the fantasy league. Sitting there all confident. It was one of those things where I was the fifth or sixth highest scorer out of 8 over halfway into the season, and I lost every single week. So I did have just a little bit of bad luck. But then naturally, everything started firing in the last like 4 or 5 weeks of the season. I won like 3 of the last 5. I ended up having the highest score of the first round of the playoffs and the second highest score in the final round of the playoffs, which just meant I didn't get to finish dead last in the playoffs, but I was dead last on the regular season. And it restored some of my faith of fantasy, because if I came in without knowing anybody from the last 4 years and finished in the top 4, I would have actually devalued my own past success, basically. But I didn't. So do pay attention if you want to do well in your fantasy, boys and girls.
Doug, we've been looking for a sarcopod.
No, we're way past that. I'm a Browns fan.
That's fair.
You know, that's on these episodes too. Yay, NFL season. You're sitting there going, oh, the Dolphins are going to be great this year. And you were right. You even told me, you said you think the Browns are going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
and you were right. But somehow it was awful. We got to have the worst collective Saturday.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. At least I knew it was coming. At least there wasn't like some false hope, and I didn't believe they were going to win that game with all the injuries that were piled up. At least I knew it was coming, but it still sucked.
No one would believe me, I suppose, because why would you? There's no reason to. But leading up to that game with Houston, and it wasn't necessarily because Stroud was back in there. It partly was because now we knew that they'd get real competent quarterback play, and the dude's just been really good this year. Something just fell off. I don't know what it was. I mean, I saw people online talking about when the Browns beat Houston because they'd beaten them before, and I just went into that game thinking I felt like they were going to lose. I couldn't describe it. It was just this feeling like it's not going to go well, and it really didn't go well. I didn't even watch the game most of the time. I was taking care of the kids, just doing literally anything else, so I logged in around halftime and I went, oh, shit. I'm really glad I'm not watching this, actually. So I did save myself a little bit of the misery. But yeah, something about it just felt not good going into it. I guess better luck next year.
I thought Cleveland was going to get it, and I really did. I was sad they didn't.
Well, since the Browns are out and since the Dolphins are out, because I can't root for your team anymore, I guess I'm rooting for the Lions.
I'm rooting for the Lions, too. I've got no other dog in the fight. I like the underdogs.
But they're not even – that's the point. That's why it's so nice that they're – well –
No, everybody in the NFC other than San Fran is an underdog right now, and that's part of why I'd love to see them do it.
You know who's the scariest team in the NFL right now at this point? It's not Buffalo. The Ravens. No.
I think it's Buffalo.
No, I think it's Green Bay.
Nah, I don't think so.
I think Green Bay just – they got hot late. They started trashing people late. I think they're even scarier than Buffalo or Baltimore. Buffalo's strong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Buffalo like sucks or that they have no chance. The Chiefs would not beat the Ravens right now. They would not. The only team that could beat the Ravens other than the Browns, by the way, other than the Browns on a good day, which I think is a fair assessment, is the Bills, the way things are looking at the season. Not the Chiefs, not Steelers, not anybody else in the playoffs. It was going to be the Bills, if anybody. But I think if I was, if the Browns were going to the Super Bowl, the team I would absolutely not want to see is the Packers. Just my personal feeling.
I think the Cowboys just choked. I really think that they just counted their chickens before they hatched.
They always do.
Yeah, well, I just think they were such an overwhelming favorite and they were so full of themselves. CeeDee Lamb was out there acting like he was posing for paparazzi before the game friggin' started. I mean, he just, they didn't, I don't think they took the, I don't think they took the Packers seriously. And I think anybody who plays the Packers from this point on are going to take them more seriously and not underrate them. And consequently, we'll be able to handle them. So I really think that's what this was.
I mean, but the Packers won what? They've won five of their last six or something. I mean, if you're even remotely professional, you should take, I mean.
That's, there's human fallibility involved. That's just not how it works.
What's the guy's name? And I'm going to shit on him, which feels a little bit frustrating because he was a Notre Dame wide receiver. He plays for the, he was with the Steelers. Who is he with now?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Claypool.
Oh, Chase, he's with the Dolphins. He's with the Dolphins.
He is with the Dolphins. Yeah, yeah, that's why
he went
I saw
to Chicago and they traded him to Miami.
That dude is an asshat. I mean, he was amazing at Notre Dame.
He still is.
He's well, okay. Someone who is on an active roster in the NFL. I mean, like the just to use the stupid example, there was a lot of breakdown that I did kind of watch of the Browns Houston, you know, where the Browns lost. And there were a lot of plays where some linebacker, number 51, I haven't even looked it up. Quite frankly, I don't care. It's not going to change my life. He was missing his assignments on a lot of stuff and getting pushed around. And as a fan, you're like, oh, what's that dude doing out there? And I'm like, oh, he would be running your ass over three times a day, four times on Sunday, if you were anywhere near him in any athletic event ever. So yep. He probably doesn't belong on an NFL field, but kind of like we talk about with Charlie Weiss and, you know, all these guys, Skip Bayless and all of them, like to sit there and act like we really know as much as they do is just silly. So, right. I mean, Claypool, I'm not trying to quote, to denounce the guy purely on his own merit, but he needs to realize that he's not the best player on the field anymore, like he was in those college games. And I think he forgets that. And I think guys like CeeDee Lamb forget that too. And that's why that happens. But if you're just being even a remotely rational person, like an actual professional, that shouldn't have happened in Dallas. But they let it.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a lot of ego getting in the way. But I don't think anyone else is going to do that to Green Bay. I think anyone they play from this point forward is just going to take them more seriously. And I just don't think Green Bay's that team. I don't think their defense is what it needs to be for the playoffs. I'm really impressed at what they did in Dallas, but I think that was more a Dallas choke.
You and I will see each other in a couple more weeks, and I will eat my words. But right
couple
now, I'm going to act super calm. I just mean like we'll see each other next week, too.
Okay. I was like, I thought I was going to see you till September. Okay. You know what I do have tonight? I have a dad fail. We haven't shared any good dad fails in a while, but I've got a good dad fail.
Really? Wait. Oxymoron?
I suppose so. A good example of a dad fail?
Wonderful. Hit me with it.
So yesterday, as we've discussed a little bit here, so Bridget had ankle surgery a few weeks back, and I'm trying to pick up some extra slack around the house, and I'm trying to do housework and kid work and all the driving of the kids to everywhere and trying to take care of my wife as best I can and still trying to do my things and trying to work the full-time job. And, oh, man, turns out I just don't have the energy to fill all these cups. So I've been running myself kind of into the ground, real tired, and had a real emotional weekend this past weekend. I was just really running at the bottom of the gas tank. Yesterday, just chilling on the couch, sitting out, and apparently passed out. My wife walked in and I was snoring. So normally for the last few weeks, I've been getting the kids ready for bed. I've been squaring everybody away. And I had a real communication breakdown with my wife where she assumed I had done my fatherly duties and gotten the kids ready before I passed out. I did not. My youngest, 2 years old, she's potty training. She was still wearing her big girl underwear, but I had put her in pajamas for the day because she was sick and she was staying home that day. So I let her wear comfy pajamas. So my wife walks out and sees me snoring, sitting on the couch, decides she's going to let me sleep because she knows I'm gassed. And she puts the kids to bed with me, hobbling around on her crutches and her peg leg that she's using while she can't put weight on her ankle. And child number three is in her pajamas. And my wife appropriately assumes that since I've got her in pajamas, I probably put a diaper on her as well. And I did not. My wife comes out to wake me up. You know, I go back to bed and I pass out in the bedroom. And 2:30 in the morning, fast forward to that, my 2-year-old daughter, who is prone to wake up once a night, comes walking into our room, opens the door, climbs up into bed, climbs up between my wife and I. We're just like, oh, all right, come on up and snuggle. It's fine. And she curls right up in between us, and we go to put our arms around her, and she is soaking wet in cold urine, just drenched all the way through. Now she has drenched at least the top layer of our the blankets on our bed. My wife had put her arm around her. Now she's smelling like urine. I have to scoop her up and take her to the bathroom. I'm smelling like urine. Her sheets need to be stripped. Her bed needs to be stripped. Has to be remade. So at 2:30 in the morning, when I'm already exhausted and I'm supposed to be waking up at 4 anyway, I'm giving my daughter a bath, and she is wide awake in the tub. Does not want to go back to sleep. Super excited to be up. Daddy, daddy, this is fun. Daddy, I like baths. This is fun in the morning. Honey, it's not morning. No, daddy, it's still dark out. Yes, yes, it is, honey. I know. Daddy, I peed. I'm like, yeah, I know you did, honey. I know. So a minor dad fail, but an entertaining one that led to everything smelling like urine and piss for the night. Yeah, take care of your stuff before you fall asleep, dads. Don't think you're going to be able to wake up and muster up and get your stuff done. That end of evening nap when you're that exhausted is just always a bad idea. And you're going to wind up more tired and covered in piss. So don't do it. It's just not a winner. Here's a dad fail. There we go.
That's a good fail. I actually had a little bit of, this is going to sound weird. I actually consider it my own version of a dad fail this last week. So our son was born back in October. So we're a couple months old now. And he was just having a really rough time, which means we're all having a really rough time. Second day of something like that, and you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to die. or I'm going to rip the house apart brick by brick.
Whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first, right. Maybe both, if you're lucky. He was just having a time. We had been talking about how he likes to be talked to. He likes to, you know, we read something that says if you repeat some of the just sounds that infants make to them, that supposedly is thought to help with their development, because that helps trigger that what they're doing is speech. It helps them start to repeat the sounds that you make. So I think I mentioned way back when on some of the earlier podcasts that when first daughter showed up, my neighbor had told me beforehand that you won't know what to do, and that's okay. You're not a terrible dad. You're not a terrible person. You just don't know what to do because you're not biologically programmed to do anything with an infant. And he had been right. And I had thought at first that he was just a bad dad who just didn't know what to do, and I would be so much better. And it turns out I was awful. But so I bring him into the other room, and I sit him down in his little rocker. I just start talking to him, and I start poking his belly, poking his nose, just doing a little like, just, this is your belly. This is my belly. And he's just, the kid's locked in, and he's looking. And it was, we did, I think, an hour and a half of stuff like this. Nice. And he starts cooing. I start just repeating some of his sounds. He starts, his eyes light up, and it sounds cheesy just to say, you know, on a podcast to anybody who's not your immediate family, but it's one of those experiences I'll never forget. It was just so fulfilling and so just connecting with my kid. The reason it's a parenting fail is that I did not have any of those types of things this early with my first two kids. I did not have anything like this until 6 or 8 months in with the first two kids. And this is like a 2 to 3 month experience with this third child. That was just how my emotions went. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, we really had a real bonding moment. And obviously it did something because he's reacting more to me now each day after that.
Yep.
And my very next thought was, holy crap, I was a terrible parent the other two times. So you get better. Like everything else, I shouldn't be so upset about it. Like every other thing in life, you get better the more you do it. And I'm not saying I'm God's gift to dadding anytime now, but if you happen to be listening to this and you're a new dad, first kid, I'm not telling you what to do, but do it. You'll thank us later. I wish I listened to other people more the first couple times around. And I'm not talking about the stupid shit like sleep when the baby sleeps because the dishes wash themselves. No, you can't do that all the time. But the interaction stuff, you will never get that back. Your kid will never be 2 months old again. Your kid will never be 3 months old again. So if you have a little time to just do something like that, fucking do it.
Yeah, I double on that one. I'm realizing a lot with my youngest right now as she's passing through the quote terrible twos, which I actually think are fantastic here. I don't know why people hate two.
All my kids our twos were two. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then people were talking about three-dager and it still wasn't fine. And then
we had problems at three.
3.75 years old. Shit hit the fan, man. It was war. I gotta tell you.
3.75. It's oddly specific, but I'm gonna say, yeah, okay.
You're damn right it's oddly specific. Fucking happened.
No, for us, it's, you know, our twos have been great, and we're looking at our youngest right now, and we're starting to see a little bit of attitude come in and a little bit of that starting, and we're like, oh, we're never gonna have that again. Like it's already almost gone. So don't be the parent that's like, I cannot wait until you potty train. I cannot wait until you stop crying tonight. I cannot wait until you XYZ. Try your best to be in the moment and to really appreciate those little things, because once they're gone forever. They don't come back. And you never, even realizing, even saying that out loud and being someone who is relatively aware that it's happening, I'm aware of it with my youngest. And then I look at my oldest and I was like, what the hell happened? What's going on here? You're eight and you're doing what now? Oh my goodness. So that's all gone with her. And then I get caught up looking at the two of them. And then meanwhile, my son is doing things. And I'm like, wait a minute. What? No, that's not right. You can't be doing this yet. And things are gone with him. And just try to be in the moment. It's a hard thing to do. It is legitimately hard to be in the moment sometimes and to not wish away some of the hardships and some of the things that are very challenging. It is really hard to not do that. But you got to make an effort, because if you don't, you won't appreciate those things until they're gone. And then you're just left missing them. And that's not the right way to be. It sucks.
And I would add to that, I mean, feeling those things, it's okay. Like, you're allowed to sit there and be like, oh, I wish you would stop shitting your pants. Like, that's okay. You're a normal human for thinking that. But yeah, I mean, it's I'm becoming more and more the guy who's going to tell you the days are long, but the years are short when it comes to kids. It's the absolute truth. You want to know what's really fucking with me right now, Tom? I heard a couple weeks ago, and it's not like it's like a duh fact, but it's just I'm really wrapping my head around it now. One day, at least as your smaller child, your kid is going to hug you for the last time.
Yeah.
And you won't know it. I'm still like, every time I get a hug from my five-year-old because she's the oldest, I'm like, come here. Please don't leave me.
Bring it in.
I'm halfway to the retirement home. Don't leave me here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Every time she wants a hug, I used to be like, no, I'm working, or oh, okay, I got to do this and then I'll pay attention to you. I used to do some of that stuff. And now it's like, you want a hug? Bring it in. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm not, I got time for that every time.
Yep. My oldest asked my wife if she could snuggle her on the couch and watch a movie today. And she does not snuggle my wife off. My oldest is a daddy's girl. Like, as soon as my wife stopped breastfeeding her, she switched sides. She was like, nope, I'm done. I'm daddy's girl now. Like, it started
because
to,
you're
like,
a saboteur.
I didn't have anything to do with this one. So when my daughter asked her to snuggle on the couch today, like, my wife literally was like, of course. And she sat next to her, put on a movie, and just literal tears, because that hasn't happened in so long. And who knows when it'll happen again. Yeah, appreciate those moments, because, man, you don't know when they're gone. It reminds me in a we're going to make this dark, because why not? I was sitting and playing poker with someone maybe 2 weeks ago. And he was a real interesting guy. He was mid-20s, and he was, kind of out there in a lot of ways. But we had some really interesting talks. We talked about a lot of stuff while we were playing, and it was a soft table, so I didn't mind engaging in conversation a little bit. And as we're talking, he says, "Man, I'm about to blow your mind. I can tell you're a philosophical dude. I got this. Like, I am going to blow your mind with one question, and your world is never going to be the same." I was like, "Yeah, all right, I'm down. Let's go. Like, what do you got?" He goes, "Man,
give me some of that shit."
He goes, "Man, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. What if the last human being that will ever exist before we go extinct has already been born?" And I stopped and I was like, "Huh. You know, I joke about the apocalypse happening and I joke about World War III and nuclear extinction. I never actually sat and thought about what if until this stoner like prepped me with, I'm going to hit you with a ridiculous question."
That's kind of judgy of you.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it absolutely is. This guy was a really interesting fellow. He tried to explain to me that the reason that I flopped a straight one hand and he had two overcards that he had to call with was because he was not in sync with the universe and the energy that I was emitting was drowning his out. And that it affected the gravity in his brain that made him call with overcard. It was really, really
Wait,
intense.
Did you win that hand?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
literally
you should have thanked the universe then. Cause clearly...
I should have, but it was also that I must've had a strong energy because it affected literally the gravity in his brain is how he described it.
Did your strong energy bet hard after the flop because a straight generally doesn't get any better and you were trying to signal to the table that you all need to leave because I'm winning?
No.
That's your problem. That you did gravitize him then.
Yeah, I pretty much just bet kind of light.
You underhanded son of a bitch. How dare you?
I had the stone cold nuts. What am I going to do?
I mean, what was it? Was it rainbow? Was there any like flush potential out there?
No, it was...
Okay, well then, all right, that's fair.
8-9 queen, and it was rainbow, and I had the 10-jack. It was pretty straightforward. He had ace king, and he just felt like I must have been bluffing, and he had to call every street. And
okay, so if we have a patron program right now, we're going to put up a vote that says, do you want our little spinoff episodes that's exclusive content to be about football or to be about poker?
We should probably find something that will appeal to a few more people. What I could do, I could stream poker sessions. I could record those and put up a poker vlog for our Patreons if anybody's interested.
Are you allowed to do that in the Foxwoods? On the Facebook with the Twitters?
I know.
And the vlog?
And the vlog, yes. Your video blog journal? Yeah, I'd have to see. I know most poker rooms now will allow you to do it.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of my favorite content creators are Vegas poker bloggers. So I know a lot of them will now, but I've never seen it done in Foxwoods, Mohegan Sun, Twin River. I've never seen it there.
I mean, if I ran a casino, I wouldn't do that. Like, no, give me your money. You can't make more money off of me unless I get a cut. You sign a little contract, I'll let you record all day, man. 20%.
I would love to crack some big screen, some big fancy poker vlogger on his own stream. I would love that chance. It'd be fun. But I like, I like to pick fights with the big guys. We've established that. I like to fight above my weight rank. That's where I like to be.
Why am I injured all the time?
Yeah, right. Why am I dealing with chronic pain and injuries? Right. It's because you agreed to box Mike Tyson for a measly $600,000, you jackass.
Yes. I was listening to that, and man, that Doug guy, I agree with a lot of what he said. I feel the same way still after all this time.
I listened to it and I'm like, what do you mean that's not life-changing money?
I understood your viewpoint about that, about how when you get things paid off, then it is sort of a different ballgame. And I'll grant you that. But you were taking the stance of, I get to do something neat that not a lot of people get to do. And you kept talking like, if I get to come out of that and say I lasted two rounds, I was coming from the stance of, I might not come out the other side. Or at least like I become a vegetable because he's going to hit me, and just completely destroy my brain.
See, I never said that. I just didn't think I'd make it out of two rounds. I feel like I would be physically fine afterward.
But that's the point. I understand the whole, you get a year to train. I'm not saying that I would be a total slouch if I got a year to train. If I actually stuck to my training, let's be real. But if you could tell me that I could do that fight for $600K, and I would at least be alive afterwards, it would be a different conversation for me. Absolutely, seriously consider that. 100%. But when potential death is on the table, I'm like, no. No, we need
potential
to be...
death is always on the table, Douglas. Always.
You know what? Here we go. Let's just jinx ourselves hardcore. A bus could run my ass over tomorrow.
Your wife could order you a sarcopod.
And that bus is not going to give me shit. Unless it's Coda. Here we come, Columbus. My wife is suing your ass. But that being said, that's why I mentioned insurance fraud. Like, you don't go in knowing you're going to put yourself in. Hey, you know what? I just got a new job. I'm going to be a storm chaser. Who wants to insure me? Like, that's not how it normally works. So that was kind of the scenario for me. If it was just typical line of duty, line of work, I'd find different story. But it's an atypical situation for someone like me. For God's sake, I'm wearing a Waldo looking shirt, drinking, what is this called? Old Granddad Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey, which, by the way, actually pretty good. I was surprised. You know how I picked this?
$7 a bottle special?
Almost. Oh, okay. You know what? No, I have a real, my new dad feel because I just got reminded of it. We're in Kroger. I'm going through with the five-year-old. I picked her up from school. Mommy wants us to pick up stuff from the store. Okay, cool. We got bananas, by the way, for the record.
The prices of which are about to go up in southern Connecticut, southeastern Rhode Island.
Getting everything on the list. Kroger, liquor store. Daddy, why are we going in here? Daddy needs to get something in here real quick. Real quick means like 15 minutes of staring at bottles and prices and trying to do some weird math, like value algorithm in my own head. And I'm debating between like three different things. And I watch some, I don't know, middle-aged issues, probably around our age, like mid to late 30s. This woman walks in, doesn't look at anything, reaches down, grabs one of these large bottles of this old granddad and walks up to the counter. Like, she's not looking for anything else. She's getting it. Like, she might as well be like cooking something. And she uses this because I look at the price and it's like 30 some dollars for the big bottle. So really good deal. And I look at it like, well, she's probably not getting a large bottle of old granddad for herself. So it's either for cooking, which I don't want, or it's for somebody else, like her grandfather or her husband, or someone wants this.
That's a pretty sexist jump right there. She might have wanted that for herself.
Next episode, I'll give you all my sexist opinions. There's a lot, and there's a lot of them are against men, too. I have plenty of shit to talk about for my own gender. Thank you very much. But so I decided to get a bottle of it. And you know what? Not bad. I will probably get it again. I found one other bottle of something I was happy with too. It only took 25 minutes. And my five-year-old being like, when are we going to leave?
It's a whole nother episode right there.
No, it's not. It shouldn't be. I'll live stream that. You'll get two downloads.
Get a couple more, one from each officer investigating you. And
I need to bring the other kid. My five-year-old is a total narc. Daddy, I was doing this, and then my sister did this, and she took it out of my hands, and she did it on purpose. And I'm like, wow, you really just want to see her go straight to jail.
That is my oldest, 100%.
That's her, too. It's like Parks and Rec. Overcooked chicken, straight to jail. Undercooked chicken, straight to jail. The three-year-old, you want to commit a crime with her. She'll tell you what she thinks, but if she decides she doesn't want to tell you, she'll be like, no, you can torture me. I won't break. You know how strong our three-year-old is?
How strong is she?
Wouldn't she? Thank you. Wow, a proper setup. When she was two, understand the stage here, everybody. This is at the time, 35-year-old grown-ass man. And grown-ass, like, I've got about 30 extra pounds, grown-ass man. I'm not a little person. Versus a 25-pound two-year-old, 30-pound two-year-old. She is not eating. I'm getting her ass to fucking eat because she needs to go to bed and she is on sleep. She doesn't eat.
Why would you get her ass to eat? That's the wrong side, Doug. That's a parent. That's a dad fail.
Semantics. I'm not a scientist. Long story short, There were so many parenting fails in here. Like, I will never tell anybody else other than the entire world through this podcast that I'm like yelling in my 2-year-old's face, like, eat your pasta. You are not going anywhere until you eat your pasta. I want to play. You do not get to play. You need to eat this pasta first before you play. Like, she is like dead set on not eating her pasta.
Yep.
She wants to leave this chair. I'm once or twice, I physically like pulled her back in the chair. Like, no, you are fucking eating. And I like to compare my kids to dogs when I'm being really insensitive. You know how, like, when you have those moments with dogs and you just need to win to establish your dominance? This was one of those moments for me with my 2-year-old. And it ended with her crying and her finally deciding to eat. This was 20 minutes. That's how strong this kid is. This 35-year-old man against a 2-year-old, 20 minutes.
Sorry, my 2-year-old is woken up and she's crying.
Okay,
go. Get her to come to me. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, so I am back. My daughter, it seems, had a nightmare. I'm not entirely sure, but she's snuggling mommy right now. It appears that Doug has gotten up and gone to use the restroom or take care of something at their house. So to kill this empty silence, I'm going to tell some more banana jokes because I saw some good ones. A lion sees a monkey by a river dipping a banana peel into the water. He watches her for a few minutes as she dips the peel and holds it under, takes it out, dips it again, pulls it out, and keeps repeating the process. The lion says, "Hey, monkey." Monkey says, "Hey, lion." He says, "What in the world are you doing?" The lion says, "Give me $10. I'll tell you." The lion gives the $10. The monkey says, "Thanks. I'm dipping a banana peel in the water." The lion says, "What? Why are you dipping a banana peel in the water? You're the biggest idiot I've ever seen." The monkey says, "Yeah, I might be an idiot, but I'm making $40 an hour." What's the difference between a banana and a plantain? Most politicians haven't had plantains in their asses. And Doug's back. Welcome back.
Okay.
I only got through 2. Man, I thought I was going to get through a couple more. All right. I was just telling banana jokes while you were gone just to get something in there to fill the silence.
Okay, well, then maybe I'll add them back. So the stage was part of the anger that I had had with this whole thing, too, was she was not eating when we wanted her to. She was a little bit of the terrible 2 stage. Again, she really wasn't that bad, but this was like the one thing. Even in the middle of it, my wife was like, like, let it go. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to let this go. And finally, she breaks down. Finally, she starts eating. She's crying. And then I tell her not to cry because it's her fault. And I'm being completely unreasonable because she's 2. She, I kid you not, fell asleep mid-chew.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds horrifying, actually.
I know you guys can't see it. Tom will see it, and I'll try to describe it to you. She's still sitting in the chair. She's kind of slightly leaned back. Her neck is back, and her mouth is just sitting open, and you look in her mouth, and you can see a little bit of pasta sitting in her mouth.
That's a heart attack.
Well, I was like, honey, this is kind of funny. Come here. But also, yeah, I was probably a little bit too hard on her. So that was my real parenting fail.
Isn't it amazing how easy it is to forget how young your kid is sometimes?
No, because you see all the other amazing stuff they do. So they're like, oh, of course, you're basically 15, even though you're 5.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be real selfish, it did pay dividends because every time someone was like, hey, 2-year-old, eat. And she would be like, no. And I'd walk around the corner and look at her and she'd be like, okay.
All right. I feel like we've
This is a good time.
Yeah, we've gone down the rabbit hole pretty far here. Next time, we're going to bring a concise, dedicated topic and give you guys a more streamlined episode.
No.
Yes, we will.
Someday, I'm going to make Tom and Doug bingo. So every time Tom says, on that note, that covers a square. And every time Doug says, what do I say?
Literally.
Oh, I do say literally. I also say that kind of thing a lot.
Okay, I'll keep my ears open for that a little bit more. On that note, we are literally going to end this podcast. Thank you for listening. We've got 300 listens in just under our first 2 weeks of launching this. We really appreciate it. Now we're kind of at the stage we're looking to grow it. So share us, like us, wherever you find us, follow us. That stuff will help us to grow and help us be found by more, especially if you're seeing us on social media. Thank you guys for the support. We're growing this a little faster than I think we realized, and we're grateful. And we've got some other stuff we're planning on bringing to you guys. We're
extremely grateful. And email us too. We are doing this for you guys. And Tom did allude to it on a previous episode. We do want to make sure that we are giving back. We don't ever do anything completely on our own. And we want to make sure that we are here to do that, to help give it back. So like us, review us, email us with questions, comments, feedback, topics, anything else. We're here. We're listening.
And some other smaller things that you can do. I recently shared a newspaper article that was posted about me and my family, and I called it Dads in the Press. I would love to get some more of that going and help get the word out about some dads that are doing some things. And, you know, people sometimes just need a shout out to know they're appreciated. And I think Doug and I are both happy to do that. So if you've got somebody who could use a shout out, let me know. Let us know.
100%.
Yeah, we're happy to do that. But we've got other stuff we're planning on bringing you guys. So in the meantime, help us grow, help us share. And we're going to work on bringing you more things for the cast. We're looking at some giveaways and some ways to help people and some Patreon things. And we're looking at quite a bit of things. We're working on something where Doug might grow on the handlebar mustache once we hit a certain milestone. That'll be coming. He'll keep it for a period of time.
At this rate, we'll have to put it on the next one.
Yeah, we might have to, but that's a good thing. So we're working on things, but help us. Help us get there. We're both new at this. And while we're having a lot of fun, we want to make sure that what we're creating is what you guys want. So feedback is good. We appreciate that. Like us, share us, review us, criticize us, make fun of us, share dad jokes with us, do all of the things. And thank you for listening.
Adios.
Later.